Welcome to the December 9th, 2018 edition of the BitcoinNews.com Daily Podcast, where we cover the biggest stories in Bitcoin, blockchain, and cryptocurrency until the heat death of the universe, the end of time. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. And by the way, we're all in space, so what I'm saying is accurate. Jumping right into that market analysis, Bitcoin is at $3,450 on Bitstamp and $3,550 on Bitfinex. I'm probably going to stop mentioning, this is the last time I promise I'm going to mention that Bitfinex has a premium over Bitstamp unless the premium goes crazy like it did in the past. When it first happened, Bitfinex had like a $1,500 premium over Bitstamp because Bitfinex kind of lost their bank account, which made it very hard to withdraw, or impossible to withdraw fiat, impossible to deposit fiat. And also scared everyone, but Bitfinex got their bank account back, and now they're at a steady, like, 3% or so premium above the other global exchanges like Bitstamp and Coinbase. Bitfinex continues to be the number one USD to Bitcoin exchange in the world, though, so yeah, we're at $3,450. And the market has, like, crawled upward since December 7th, just ever so slightly. I wouldn't really call it an uptrend, this is kind of like a sideways trend. It's better than the downtrend we were on. I mean, let me zoom out. Yeah, we were at $6,500 on, like, November, I don't know, 7th or something. Like, November 7th, we were at $6,500, and it was at $6,300 all the way up to, like, maybe, like, November 10th. So 1 month ago, Bitcoin was, like, almost 50% higher, maybe, like, 40% higher than it was now. So that's a big crash in 1 month, and that was because Bitcoin Cash forked into Bitcoin SV and Bitcoin ABC. The SEC began to really punish ICOs for issuing unregistered securities. And backed, delayed their physical Bitcoin futures, and were left with these horrible Bitcoin futures on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the same stuff that's destroying the gold market. And, yeah, it's not very optimistic, so the entire crypto market cap is totally crashed out because of this. Not totally, it probably could crash more, so I'm not going to say totally crashed out, but it's at $112 billion right now, the crypto market cap overall. And keep in mind, there's a lot of crypto market caps, like there's 2,100 coins, so a lot of those market caps are actually like overinflated for various reasons, like having a centralized supply. Ripple's a good example of that, like they have a market cap of $12.5 billion, but I've noticed when with an increasingly centralized supply, the market cap is higher than it should be. Like there was this coin called like Marine Coin in the past, I think it was Marine Coin, which had a ridiculously high market cap but almost no value or trading activity because they were mostly centralized supply. Ripple is not as ridiculous as that coin was, but it's like 60%, actually 59% of the Ripple in existence are totally owned by the Ripple Foundation and Ripple Labs. And yeah, I don't think the market cap is really $12.5 billion. Like it says it is, but it's not. So, I mean, they have good liquidity enough that, like, you know, if you sold your Ripple at 30.6 cents, which is the current price, you will get that. I'm just saying the market cap might be overinflated because the supply is so centralized. Stellar, same story, $2.3 billion market cap, but very centralized supply. Honestly, when I think of the top two cryptocurrencies, you know, Bitcoin's at $62 billion market cap. Down a lot, it was like way over $100 billion before, or at least at $100 billion, now it's at $62 billion. Ethereum is just below $10 billion market cap. I still think Ethereum's obviously the number two cryptocurrency, though. You could say Ripple is, but it's not. It's really not. Look, there's no proof of work. There's no miners. It's centralized supply. I don't consider Ripple like a true cryptocurrency. It is, but it's not. So Ethereum is number two for me. And I like Ethereum, but it's been getting totally wrecked because a lot of people abused Ethereum to launch ICOs that weren't very good. Maybe they had good intentions, like a lot of these ICOs, but then they kind of spent all their money because, like, oh, the market's going up so quick. We can spend all the money we want and still have all the money we need. And then they spent all the money they wanted, but they did. Now they don't have the money they need to actually execute their plan, so now it looks like a scam for a lot of coins. Even if it started with good intentions, they got overexuberant. They got greedy. So Ethereum is getting punished because a lot of these tokens launched on the Ethereum network, and a lot of the reason for Ethereum's value was because these other companies and tokens were using Ethereum for their transactions. And like, let's say you use a ERC-20 token, like let's say, let me think of a good one. Well, yeah, I'm trying to find the top Ethereum token. And, like, I guess USD coins an Ethereum token, but it's not really the top one. But 0x and basic attention token, those are Ethereum tokens. Let's say you send 0x. Since it's an Ethereum token, you have to pay the transaction fee in Ethereum. And that and all these little transaction fees being paid for all these different tokens helps increase Ethereum's price because it makes people need to buy Ethereum to use the tokens. This is how it works. And since a lot of these tokens are getting punished by the SEC and by lawsuits and people panicking, Ethereum's price has gone down a lot. It's below $100. It's at $93, but still an impressive market cap near $10 billion. And we'll see how much lower it goes. There's probably still some falls left in Ethereum, as well as Bitcoin, to be honest. I thought the support level was $1,500 for Bitcoin, but obviously that support level fell out. And we're going to talk about Ethereum. Some major things are happening. So I wasn't even thinking of it when I said there's some falls left for Ethereum's price, but there's some serious issues coming up in a month. Ethereum's going to hard fork, and we're going to go into that after I do the whole market analysis. So Tether is near $1.9 billion market cap. It's at $1.02 now. So Tether before had the problem where it was like not at parity. It was above, it was below parity by a lot. It went down to like below 90 cents. It was below parity for a long time, very volatile. Now it's volatile again, but going above parity, and that's not good. Some people might be like, oh, it's great. Tether went up like, you know, 2 cents above a dollar. You know, we made money. Nah, stablecoins are not, like, it's not good if it goes above a dollar or below a dollar. It's supposed to be at a dollar. And I'm not, like, knocking on Tether. They're all having this problem. Like, let's look at USD Coin, which is, like, the stablecoin launched by Coinbase and Circle. They're at $1.02. Paxos Standard, another stablecoin, at $1.02. And let me try to find True USD. Yeah, True USD is at $1.02. All the stablecoins are at $1.02. They're all not working as they should. Like, they're not supposed to be above a dollar. They're not supposed to be below a dollar. They're supposed to be at a dollar. That means their systems that are fundamentally backing them are not working right. I mean, we're still in the early days of stablecoins, and they're just not stable. And maybe this is just a permanent problem. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, if you want to use fiat money, I guess I know the reason. So I'll explain why stablecoins are important. It's because in some areas you can't use US dollars, or you can't deposit them on some exchanges. Or, you know, let's say you just can't use them because you can't deposit it yourself. So you use a stablecoin like Tether, and then you could use the USDT, which is Tether trading pair, and kind of like it's like USD trading. But it all falls apart when it's not stable. If it goes above a dollar or below a dollar, it's no longer a dollar, you know? And another reason is because it's easier to arbitrage when you're using Tether. So you can, like, make some gains by trading on the Tether trading pair. Like, let's say the price is higher on one exchange. So you buy the Bitcoin on one exchange and sell it on the other exchange where the price is higher. And if you did that with fiat currency, it would be so slow that you might miss out on the arbitrage opportunity. But with Tether and other stablecoins, you could quickly move that money and make that money on the arbitrage. But, you know, this all falls apart when Tether stops being stable, and it stopped being stable a while ago. I thought it was back at parity because the bank account in the Bahamas, Deltek, was going good for Tether. I don't know why it's above a parity. That's like a whole, you know, someone has to do some real research. Why do these coins all go above parity right now? Why are people paying more than a dollar for a coin that's absolutely only backed by a dollar? And that 2 cents above a dollar is not backed by anything. This is the simple facts of how it works. As for the rest of the market, so Bitcoin Cash is at $108. And this is Bitcoin Cash ABC, which is actually a centralized cryptocurrency now. They put in a poison pill, quote unquote, which made it centralized in the sense that only the Bitcoin Cash ABC development team could change it in the future, and they could change it at will, too. And that makes it not decentralized. So they're probably not going to go up that much long-term. Like, centralized cryptocurrencies are not doing good. Case in point, EOS. EOS has actually had quite a bit of a rally. It went up like 30% in the past few days, but it's still only at $2. It was a lot higher. It's $1.8 billion market cap. It's lost so many billions of dollars since it went public onto its own blockchain. I shouldn't say public. It was always public, but it was an ERC-20 token, and then it went onto its own native blockchain and actually started being used for what it was designed for. And there's some signs that there's, you know, companies using EOS, but overall, it's a centralized cryptocurrency. Like, there's these block producers that could totally reverse transactions and stuff, and they call themselves block producers. They call it a blockchain, but the real cypherpunks know EOS is not a cryptocurrency. It's like a database run by people that control the database, and that's all there is to it. It's not a cryptocurrency. It's not immutable. So I don't, you know, and that's in the top crypto. So we got Bitcoin Cash and EOS right next to each other, centralized cryptocurrencies that are losing value. And then I guess Bitcoin SV is the next one to mention. It's right below that. Bitcoin SV is apparently not centralized. It's like Bitcoin Cash has survived as a decentralized, in a decentralized form, in the form of Bitcoin SV. but it's not as popular, I guess, and it's at $98, but it left Bitcoin Cash once, and I think it might happen again eventually. Litecoin's at $25. It's down today. $1.5 billion market cap. Litecoin's always going to be around. It's probably always going to be near the top 10 or somewhere in the top 100. It's the number one script coin. It used to be the number two cryptocurrency in the past. But yeah, there's not much to it. It's just like, you know, Bitcoin copied as a script coin. And that's good for all the people that use script mining. That's all there is to it. You know, if people are going to use a form of money that's peer-to-peer, decentralized, and cryptographically secure, they'd probably choose Bitcoin, not Litecoin. Litecoin works, though. It does work. So Tron, they kind of bought BitTorrent, and they seem to be holding their own compared to these other ICOs, but they're still falling in value generally. They're below $900 million, but they're number 10 now. So we got an ICO coin. There's a couple of them in the top 10. Even Ethereum, I guess, was an ICO coin, but they're the ones that started all the ICOs. But we got EOS and Tron are in the top 10. They're ICO coins, and all the other ICO coins, including those, are all going down slowly towards the bottom. And we're left with the cryptocurrencies that are really unique. I wouldn't say any of these ICO coins are truly unique, which is quite interesting of a statement. The whole point of these ICOs was to launch new, unique, and useful cryptocurrencies. In the end, we didn't get that. Bitcoin's unique. Litecoin is unique. Even I said it's not that unique, but it is compared to these ICOs. Tether, I guess, is unique. It's a stable coin, the number one. Ethereum is unique. Dogecoin is not unique, but it has a good community, and it's holding its own. Dogecoin is just right around the $250 million market cap. It's number 20 right now. Just to show how bad the ICOs did, Dogecoin, which is literally like the meme of the Shiba Inu slapped on a coin, is above almost all the ICOs in market cap. And then Burstcoin's good, but it's like way down there. And for some reason, even though Burstcoin's the number one and probably almost the only proof of capacity coin, which is where you use hard drives for mining, it's been suffering. As if maybe there was a bunch of people investing in Burstcoin, and when they sell their crypto assets, they sell Burstcoin too, because Burstcoin's not been doing that much better. They're doing a bit better relatively, but they've been crashing hard on the down days too. And then beyond this, Dash is also very unique. Dash is the number one X11 coin. It's going to be around long term. It uses masternodes. And then masternodes make it more private. And then we have Monero, which is the number one privacy coin. But it seems like the privacy coins just aren't holding up relative to the other cryptocurrencies. I mean, they are. Look, Monero is number 12 and Dash is number 16. But it's not the number one or number two because most people don't need to use cryptocurrency for privacy. It is a major use for, like, the darknet. And also people are just, like, you know, shielding their information. But it's not, like, a tremendous use. It's a currency. Like, Dash and Monero are currencies that could be used so, you know, people can't really trace any of your transactions. And that's always going to have a use. They're always going to be very useful and persist. But I don't see why they have to go up in value either. Like, the size of the darknet's not going to change, really. It's already huge and it's staying about the same size. And, you know, there's lots of cryptocurrencies that are used as investments, including, like, all of them. But when it comes down to it, once all the investments disappear, once all those people sell out like they are now, we're just going to be left with how much is a cryptocurrency worth for its actual utility. And privacy coins always will have utility, but it's a limited amount of people that need them. So that's why, you know, their market caps are less than $1 billion. And I don't see a reason why they should ever go over $1 billion. It would just be investor speculation. It will happen again. Monero and Dash will be around when the next rally happens, as well as Litecoin, Bitcoin, Dogecoin, Burstcoin, whatever. And all these coins that actually have real uses, when the investors come back, they're going to go up a lot. But I'm really into cryptocurrency for being decentralized peer-to-peer money. And then the variations on that are cool when we have like really unique cryptocurrencies. But all these ICOs that are for speculation, I'm not so into that at all. Because look what happened. All these people lost a bunch of money. Now we have the SEC like right up the crypto space's butt. And yeah, it's not really a good situation that's been caused by a bunch of people trying to make money on crypto. It brought more bad attention than ever. And we lost a bunch of good people that wanted to like actually be involved, but then they were kind of tricked into investing and they lost everything. Now they hate crypto. And that's going to last for years. We might be talking like 10 years until the public sentiment turns positive towards crypto again. I love crypto no matter what. But also at the same time, I wasn't burned because I educated myself. I did not invest in any ICO ever. And I barely invest in Bitcoin. I don't have any Bitcoin or anything. But, you know, so I didn't get burned at all by this market downturn, by the way. And I think a lot of true Bitcoiners didn't get burned either. But there's a lot of people that wanted to be Bitcoiners and they kind of talked to the wrong people and they got burned. All right, so enough about all the market analysis. Basically, to sum it up, it's kind of stable. It's a lot lower than it was, but it's not going down today. That's all there is to it. But now for our only story of the day, it's an important story. So Ethereum is going to fork. So we just had that Bitcoin Cash fork, and that kind of caused the market to go crazy in a bad way. Ethereum's going to do the same thing in a month. So Ethereum developers have decided to fork Ethereum at block 7,080,000. And we're already like above block 6.9 million, so this fork is happening anywhere between January 14th and January 18th. I saw one article that said it's probably going to be January 14th, 2019. That's only about a month from now. We're going to see Ethereum hard fork. And it's not a normal hard fork. So Ethereum usually would fork like periodically because they have this stupid thing called the difficulty bomb, which they should not have. And the difficulty bomb's programmed into their code to make mining difficulty exponentially increase after a point, which makes block times exponentially increase. And eventually that leads to the Ethereum Ice Age, where, you know, no more Ethereum blocks are mined until the developers and the community can agree on forking it. I think that's really stupid to have, you know, a fork forced like that. Like, for some reason, they're like, oh, we're going to force the forks. And that makes it so people can change Ethereum, like, every year or so. And so, yeah, it's happening again. Like, difficulty bomb will go off if they don't do this. Again, it's kind of like how Congress does their thing with the budget. They're like, they kind of have their own difficulty bomb in Congress, but we're not going to politics right now. So, here's the problem with Ethereum's fork. It's called the Constantinople hard fork. Here's the problem with it. It's totally disenfranchising the miners. So the miners are the lifeblood of any proof-of-work cryptocurrency. They secure the network, and they're a major part of the community. And Satoshi Nakamoto designed Bitcoin to really cater to the miners because they're what formed Bitcoin. They're the people that made Bitcoin succeed, and they still do. Ethereum's like, we're getting rid of our miners. We don't want them anymore. That's really how it is. That's what developers are basically saying. They're slashing the block reward from 3 Ethereum to 2 Ethereum. They're instituting a Prague POW, which makes it so you can't mine Ethereum with an ASIC anymore, an application-specific integrated circuit, which is like almost all the Ethereum miners use ASICs. And the Ethereum developers are like, we're going to make them obsolete in 1 month. That's crazy. So when it comes down to it, I'll just get straight to the point and then talk about some details besides that. So Ethereum miners that use ASICs, which is like almost all of them, have nothing to lose by forming their own version of Ethereum. And all they have to do is not upgrade. So Ethereum miners that use ASICs simply don't have to upgrade to Constantinople. They could coordinate together, get a little angry together, and be like, we're not going to upgrade. We're going to keep using Ethereum as it should be and not upgrade to Constantinople. Constantinople's garbage. They could just do that. It's really simple. And then we're going to have a new version of Ethereum with all the miners on it. And what happens when you have all the miners on a coin on a blockchain that's not the official one? Well, with the Bitcoin Cash War, they were like, oh, whoever has the most amount of miners is going to win. They're going to be the official Bitcoin Cash. And that's what happened. They kind of manipulated it, and Bitcoin Cash ABC bought a bunch of temporary hashing power. Like, the people behind it, like Bitmain and Bitcoin.com, they bought a bunch of hashing power and manipulated the hash rate, and they actually got the title of Bitcoin Cash. So what happens when almost all the miners are like, no, we still want our block reward to be 3 Ethereum, and we still want to use ASICs? And they all go off and keep mining the old chain when Constantinople happens. Is that not Ethereum? I mean, this is like a major philosophical debate that has real implications. Is, like, let's say all the miners split off when the fork happens, and I think it's likely at least some of them will split off, if not almost all of them, because almost all the hashing power is ASICs. And if Ethereum forks into Constantinople, and they succeed and there's no other version of Ethereum, all the ASIC miners will be obsolete. And we're talking billions of dollars of equipment. They have nothing to lose and everything to gain by splitting off. All the ASIC miners could split off when the fork happens and have their own version of Ethereum. And then would that not be Ethereum? It will have by far the most hash rate compared to Ethereum. Ethereum's trying to sell us the idea that they're going to transition to proof of stake. So they're saying this is going to soften the blow to proof of stake. What I say, if they were going to do proof of stake, they should do it all at once, and it's still a bad idea because they're losing their entire mining community, but if they're going to do it, they should do it all at once. It does not soften the blow to be like, okay, we're going to cut the proof of work down. They're just going to lower their hash rate to dangerously low levels where they're like, it's possible to attack them with a 51% attack, especially if the market price keeps going down. So it'll be possible to attack Ethereum with a 51% attack. They're going to lose most of their community and have an entire new community that hates them. Like, if they were like, we're going to proof of stake, it would be a much cleaner break. Instead, they're going to soften the blow, quote unquote. No, they're going to actually make it a lot worse by doing it in half measures. If you're going to go proof of stake Ethereum, Do it all at once. Don't do the softening the blow thing. You're just going to make everyone go crazy because you're going to have miners fighting each other. Like, some of the miners with GPUs be like, yeah, we want this. So, like, you're splitting the mining community because the GPU miners are like, yeah, this is awesome. All ASICs are gone. And then, so the miners are fighting, and then the miners overall are fighting with Ethereum developers, and it's just a mess. I do not see how this is going to end well, and it's going to be the biggest story of January. It's over a month still. We got like 34 days, maybe 38 days until it happens, so no one's really thinking about it yet. But when it gets close, everyone's going to start going crazy. That's pretty obvious. It's going to be just like Bitcoin Cash, but worse. Because Ethereum is way more important than Bitcoin Cash. It always has been, at least in the past year or two. It's been way more important than Bitcoin Cash, obviously. Bitcoin Cash is actually brand new. It was only like, it's like a year and a half old. So the entire time Bitcoin Cash existed, Ethereum was way more important. And so this might be an even bigger debacle than the Bitcoin Cash split. This could very well be the Ethereum split. And I've been saying this over and over in my articles on the subject. The name of the fork, Constantinople, is the name of the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire. And the Eastern Roman Empire formed after the Roman Empire split between West and East. And ultimately, Constantinople represents kind of like the downfall of the entire Roman Empire. And why are they naming their fork after a city that kind of represents the downfall of the Roman Empire? So, yeah, it's almost like they're prophesizing, yeah, this will kill Ethereum. So, there's a lot of news to come from this story and a lot of things to see. And we're going to keep tracking it. And that's all we have for you today on this December 9th, 2018 edition of the BitcoinNews.com Daily Podcast. Go to BitcoinNews.com 24/7 for the full spectrum of Bitcoin, blockchain, and cryptocurrency analysis. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out, staying in space. Adios, amigos.